opinions commemorate the ninth anniversary of the founder of the Islamic Republic, the late Imam Khomeini. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says upcoming presidential elections in Iran should create a political epic. Iran's foreign ministry summons Qatar's charged affairs following dismantlement of a terrorist network. And Iran's national soccer team crushes Qatar 1-0. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to the late edition of Iranian and English News with me, Nima Chitsaz. Iranians from all walks of life gathered at the mausoleum of the late Imam Khomeini to mourn the demise anniversary of the founder of the Islamic Republic and also to renew their allegiance to his ideals. A number of top Iranian military and political officials, as well as the foreign ambassadors and guests, were present at the ceremony. The ceremony was also attended by the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. A large number of domestic and foreign journalists and photographers covered the event. Ruhollah Mousavi Khomeini, who came to be known as Imam Khomeini, was born in the town of Khomein on September 24, 1902. Coming from a family of scholars, young Ruhollah began his education by memorizing the Holy Quran and later went to Iraq and Qom to complete his religious studies. During the 1930s, Imam Khomeini dedicated his time to teaching Islamic jurisprudence in Qom. In 1961, Imam Khomeini became a Shiite source of emulation and gradually entered the political arena. In January 1963, he engaged in activities against the then monarch of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, who had announced his so-called White Revolution program. Imam Khomeini changed the lives of Iranians and inspired people from other countries by guiding one of the greatest revolutionary movements of modern history to victory. Imam Khomeini passed away on June 3, 1989. With Imam Khomeini's demise, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was elected as the leader of the Islamic Revolution by Iran's Assembly of Experts. Addressing a ceremony at Imam Khomeini's mausoleum, leader of the Islamic Revolution Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, the upcoming presidential election in Iran should create a political epic. The leader stated that the most important matter in the presidential elections is to create a political epic and the enthusiastic participation of the people in the polls. The leader further noted that the enemies wish either a low turnout in the election or sedition to emerge after the election. Elsewhere, the leader commented on the economic problems in the country and the role of the next president of Iran in this regard. Ayatollah Khamenei said, the hope of the nation and all of us is that the person elected by the nation in the June 14 votes will solve economic problems. The leader advised the candidates not to make promises so they cannot fulfill. Ayatollah Khamenei said, the Iranian nation, with its massive turnout and its resolve, will give a firm and crushing response to the plots of enemies, noting that the people of Iran have a roadmap, which is Imam Khomeini's principles. He said, Imam Khomeini's principles are the very principles that turned the backward, dependent Iranian nation into a pioneer and dignified and independent nation. Wednesday, the 15th of Khordad in Iranian calendar, is one of the important days and a turning point in the history of Iran's developments. On this day, 50 years ago, although the uprising of the Iranian people was suppressed by foreign colonialism and the Pahlavi dictatorship, and a large number of Iranian people were martyred, the sparks were lit for the eventual triumph of the People's Movement, a movement that gained a resounding victory 16 years later in 1979 with the overthrow of the Pahlavi regime, the final end of foreign hegemony, and the establishment of the Islamic Republic. Imam Khomeini embarked on revealing the colonialist nature of the so-called reforms by releasing statements and delivering speeches. In early 1963, Imam Khomeini also delivered some important speeches against U.S. Zionist meddling in Iran and the dictatorship of the Pahlavi regime, the most famous of which was his speech of 15th of Khordad. Following the Imam's speech, the people of different cities of Iran rose against the regime and its foreign masters, resulting in the martyrdom of many Iranians. Iran's foreign ministry has summoned Qatar's charged affairs in Tehran following the dismantlement of a terrorist network with links to the spy agency of an Arab state. The Qatari envoy, who was summoned in the absence of Doha's ambassador to Tehran, was asked to relay the Islamic Republic's strong objection to his country's authorities. On June 2nd, the Iranian intelligence ministry said it had uncovered a Mossad-trained network of terrorists with links to the spy agency of an Arab state, plotting to sabotage Iran's upcoming presidential elections. Iran's national soccer team crushed Qatar 1-0 in the 2014 FIFA World Cup qualifier in the Qatari capital of Doha on Tuesday. The match was a matter of do or die for both teams, since each side had to struggle to win in order to keep their hopes alive of reaching Brazil in 2014. Iran is now in the third place with 10 points from 6 matches, while Qatar, a notch below, also has a similar tally in Group A. Uzbekistan leads the group with 11 points, followed by South Korea and Lebanon. Turkey's main union federation launched a 2-day strike starting on Tuesday to protest against the violent police crackdown on anti-government demonstrations. The action will likely affect schools, universities, and public offices across Turkey. The Confederation of Public Workers Unions, which represents some 240,000 workers, accused the government of committing state terror. Meanwhile, in Antakya, death of a 22-year-old man caused conflict between the riot police and protesters. The Hatay Province Governor's Office said the man, Abdullah Kumert, died in hospital after he was shot on Monday during a demonstration in the city near the border with Syria. According to reports, at least 3 people have been killed and more than 1,000 others injured since the beginning of anti-government protests in Turkey on May 31st. Authorities say over 2,000 people have also been detained. One civilian was killed when mortar shells landed in the Syrian capital of Damascus, some of which slammed in the vicinity of the Russian embassy. Local media and activists said one person was killed when at least 5 mortar shells landed near Al-Hayat Hospital in Al-Mazara district. Mortar attacks have become daily occurrences in Damascus. A day earlier, 2 people were killed when multiple mortar shells slammed Damascus upscale district of Al-Mazara. Russian President warned on Tuesday against any attempt at foreign military intervention in Syria, stressing that the move would only make the situation worse. Speaking at a joint news conference after a summit with European Union leaders in Yekaterinburg, Vladimir Putin said, any future foreign military intervention in Syria is doomed to fail. He also criticized the EU for not extending an arms embargo on militants fighting against the Syrian government. The Russian president also defended his country's decision to deliver advanced S-300 air defense missile systems to the Syrian government, saying it complies with the international law and will help to tilt the balance of power in the region.
I will remind everyone that Russian deliveries of arms to Syria are being carried out on the basis of transparent, internationally recognized contracts. They don't violate any international conditions. In regard to the S-300, the contract was written several years ago, but had not been implemented.
This comes as the Russian foreign ministry said the region around war-torn Syria was awash with foreign weapons, posing a substantial threat to Middle East stability. Foreign ministry spokesman Alexander Lukashevich said Russia has repeatedly voiced its position that the explosion-prone region has been pumped with foreign-made weapons. Lukashevich's remarks came a day after U.S. Department of State spokesperson Jennifer Psaki said U.S. F-16 fighter jets and Patriot missile systems intended for Exercise Eagle Lion in Jordan could remain in that country upon Jordanian government's request. Psaki said the arms might be kept there in light of escalating violence along Jordan's borders. Thousands of Greeks held a rally in the capital Athens in support of Turkish protesters against Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan and his government. Our correspondent has more.
Turkish, Kurdish and left-wing organizations rallied outside the Turkish embassy in Athens last Monday in solidarity with demonstrators in multiple Turkish cities who have been clashing violently with police in protest at the policies of Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Police units were stationed near the embassy to ensure the protests remained peaceful, overseeing a flock of people gathering initially at the embassy and later in Demonstrators also denounced an alleged abduction of a Turkish activist by government services named Bulut Yayla, yet the Greek government said it had no official records documenting his presence in Greece. According to police sources, the Turkish national had expressed interest to the Greek Council of Refugees in applying for asylum. Syriza and other NGOs had earlier accused authorities of covering up the events, yet all calls remained unanswered, leading many protesters to express their Back to Turkey, demonstrators enraged over their treatment by security forces hurled rocks at riot police in Ankara's Kizilay Square in what has been described as the latest in a thread of violent clashes. The protests have since morphed into larger complaints against Erdogan, whom protesters accuse for his authoritarian style. In the meanwhile, in its annual report, the International Labour Organization underlined that social unrest, work stoppages, frustrations had increased in most countries since the economic and financial crisis that began in 2008. The rate skyrocketed from 34% in 2006 to 46% in 2011. Yet, according to the study, the risk has declined in Latin America, the Caribbean and Southeast Asia, where governments have followed employment and development spurring policies. Social and economic pressure on people living in the region of the Mediterranean is soaring on a daily basis. Yet this protest today is a clear token of the resolve of people who have decided to have their voices heard and fight back. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kabat.
Spain Labor Ministry said the registered jobless rate decreased in May by 1.97%, putting the number of unemployed at 4.89 million. However, economists believe the figure is deceptive since it does not include Spaniards who have been without work for more than 1 year. The country's unemployment rate stands at 27% and is the second highest in the EU after Greece. Among the youth, the number is even worse, with a staggering 56.4% of young Spaniards being unemployed. The high number of jobless youths has led many of them to move to other countries in search of work. Analysts say even if the country comes out of recession, job creation could lag until much later. On May 3rd, credit rating agency Fitch Ratings said it predicted Spain's unemployment rate to peak at 28.5% in the first quarter of 2014, as government measures such as wage-setting reforms take effect and a contraction in industrial output reaches its limit. At least 10 people have been killed and thousands of others forced to move to higher grounds in its worst Central European flooding over the past 70 years. On Tuesday, at least 10 people were confirmed dead in the Czech Republic, as about 9 others are reportedly missing. Hundreds of people had to be rescued from their homes in other countries like Germany, Austria, Poland and Switzerland following days of heavy rainfall. Meanwhile, water from three swollen rivers gushed into the old town of Passau in southeast Germany. Firefighters and emergency workers have been mobilizing to help clear roads, assist with evacuations, and set up anti-flood barriers. Central European rescue teams are continuing their search for survivors. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRyan in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.